We are doing a summer series, excuse me, on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this is part four of that particular series. And so last time we learned that there are gifts, there are natural gifts, there are supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. We did a discussion on the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. We haven't got to the natural ones just yet, but it's interesting. Natural gifts are easy to see in the life of people, in our lives. In fact, it's something that oftentimes, usually, you enjoy doing it, and usually you're often good at it, okay? That's how you can tell that. So it might be teaching. Maybe you're a person that's very organized. Maybe you're a person that just loves to serve. You know, so when the doors are provide an opportunity to serve, you like to do it. Maybe it's just a person, and maybe you have a natural ability to lead. Now, oftentimes people say, how do you know if you're a leader? Well, do you have people following you? If people are following you, then chances are you're a leader, okay? Hopefully, you got to go in the right direction. Maybe it is in the area of business. Maybe it's like these guys here that have gifts of, you know, the ability to play musical instruments. Not one of my gifts. I can play a CD, and that's about it. And maybe you know your gift is in the area of gardening. Maybe that's something you love to do, or sewing, or crafting, or building. And for you ladies, not one that I think it's a universal one that you get from birth. You have the gift of shopping, and it's an amazing gift, right? So, but everybody has one. All of us have one. The Bible tells us that, and those gifts. Even non-believers have natural gifts or natural abilities. Okay, you with me so far? So you had them before you became a Christian. The difference is the day that you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, things began to change. Our desires changed. Our goals changed. Language changed. And even your desire to use the gift that you had changed. Because suddenly you say, wow, I have this ability that I've used it for the world my whole life, and now I want to use it for the kingdom of God. I want to use that gift for a higher purpose. I want to use that ability for an eternal purpose rather than just for me, for my own fleshly desires. I want to use it to help build the kingdom of God. And we should desire to make a difference for eternity. And so, God has made available to you, to me, His Holy Spirit. So the day that we surrendered our lives to Jesus, you may remember, His Spirit went from with us alongside to indwelling us. And at that moment, you became aware, I want to use my gift, I want to use my ability for the things of the kingdom. And then it became, hopefully over the last few weeks, you've begun to experience the fact that, well, I also want to trade this handsaw in for a power saw. I want that empowering of the Spirit that will take the natural gift that I have and light it on fire for the things of God. And so that's kind of what we talked about, and that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, many Christians have never asked for that because they may not believe it, or like myself growing up in the denomination, they said, no, it's not for today. So we've been talking about that, and that is each one of us have a ministry, and that in that ministry, the gift that God has given to you, plus, as we talked about last week, the supernatural gifts that empower things way beyond us. And so I think what I want to make sure that we understand is that as we've been discussing the gifts of the Spirit, please, please, please remember this. Do not focus on the gifts. Focus on the giver of the gifts. Because if not, even the gifts can become a distraction to a Christian person. Make sense? But you keep your eyes on Jesus, He'll take those gifts, and you'll be using it. Sometimes you don't even know that you are, and that's the beautiful part about it, because then Jesus gets the credit. Well, that brings us to where we left off. That same flow of thought that Paul has been giving to us, and that brings us to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Are you guys there? Lord, we want to commit the remainder of our service into your hands, our time together. And God, may we at least not only take something home with us today, But Lord, we want to take home a changed life. Lord, we thank you that we get to see you use men and women like we've seen just this morning. Just the various ones that you're using in various areas, not only in our church, but in the community. And now, Lord, that can be any of us. Where we work, where we play, where we recreate. God, we want to be used by you. So, Lord, show us how that is done. And then empower us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we pick it up, verse 12. Take a look with me, okay? For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, whether Americans or not, okay? We have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. And so as Paul's continuing and we're moving on to set up, and as I said, we'll get to, when we get over to chapter 14 in a couple of weeks, we'll talk about the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongue and prophecy. So hold on to that. We haven't got to that yet. But he's setting us up for that discussion, and that's the beauty of it. So on this theme of unity with diversity, he uses the human body as an illustration. And it's kind of actually kind of funny as he moves through it. But paralleling between the human body and the body of Christ. Just as you and I, our human bodies, have many different parts, and each part has its own unique function. And each function, when it's operating correctly, you are a whole and, we'll call it, normal, whatever that means, person, okay? So here's the thing. The moment that we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit moves into you and into me. He then puts us in this thing called the body of Christ. So each one of you uniquely different, just as the parts and pieces of our bodies are uniquely different, yet when we're operating properly, we are one whole person. And when the body is operating of Christ, is operating as he put you here and he put me here and he put the person sitting next to you here, and if we are all doing what God has asked us to do and gifted us to do, then we become one body. You see? So even as Tony and Rosemary were up here and they have a unique little area of ministry, and as we saw, you know, Jordan and Flo, God's given them a ministry within the body, and Oscar and Chinny ministry within the body, and each of you have your own unique ministry. And as we see that working, it's a beautiful piece. So no matter what denomination, no matter what race, no matter what color, we are a part of not only this thing called Calvary Chapel, but we become part of the universal body of Christ. So even right now, the body of Christ way bigger than us. It took my first trip to Russia to really realize that. When I was in Russia and saw and listened to people singing the songs we sing, I know the tune, but I didn't understand the language. And I suddenly realized, wow, here I am sitting in, you know, Russia, former communist country, and I'm sitting with Christian brothers and sisters in Christ as a part of the body, while Calvary, little old Calvary Chapel Ramona, sitting out here in the middle of nowhere, and I realized, wow, the body of Christ is huge. It's huge. So no matter what denomination, no matter what it is, do you have the indwelling of the Spirit of Jesus Christ by faith in him? And if so, then you are a part of this massive thing called the church, the body of Christ. So understanding that, Paul takes us a little further into to this discussion on the human body. Let's see how far we get, okay? Verse 14, look what he says. He says, verse 15, for if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I am not a part of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if we were, and if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now, God has set members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Just as he pleased. Okay? Are you guys tracking? So the human body has to work together. The human body has to work together. And as we, the body of Christ, we have to work together also. If we don't work together as a unit or a team, think about it. If you were suddenly walking, as I shared with you, Don Means got that strange, bizarre virus that only affects 2,000 people in the United States a year, and it affected his legs. This virus hit the nerves of his legs to where he could no longer walk. He went in walking. He played golf 1 week before, and a week later, he can't even walk. Very bizarre. So when a part of the body decides to say, I don't really want to be a part of the body, what happens? We become incapacitated. We become spastic, right? We become unable to be able to do various certain things. And so it's an amazing thing when you think about that. So suppose that, you know, aren't you glad that your hand right now, I mean, look at your hand. Aren't you glad that it's happy being a hand? Are you glad that your hand isn't saying, you know, right now I'm going to rebel against the body, and right now I feel like slapping you in the face. Okay, if you saw that happening, you'd be looking at me going, okay, somebody call 911, okay? Aren't you glad that, you know, your foot is happy being a foot? What if my foot all of a sudden decided, you know, I'm sick and tired of being kept in the dark all the time. I'm tired of being walked on. I mean, this job stinks. Just saying, okay? What if my foot decided that? You know, what if my foot says, you know what? I'm tired of being a heel. How many more you guys want? I got more, man. Suppose that, you know, if your foot decided, I want to be a nose, you know, then would you have a foot-long nose? Or, I don't know, you know? Or so what happens? Listen, okay, I won't do anymore for a minute. What happens if your heart goes on strike? What do we call that? What happens to a person when you have a heart attack? Boom. Sometimes it will kill you. Sometimes that will be the end of it, right? And so a heart that says, I don't want to function with the rest of the body. I had to learn that lesson in a really crazy way because I learned that, you know, there are systems in your body that have to all work now. I mean, your circulatory system has to work. If it doesn't work, the parts where circulation doesn't get to, it dies. That's diabetes, okay? If your respiratory system, you stop breathing, it's not good, okay? If your heart stops beating, not good. We have a digestive system. Now, listen, guys, let me just share something with you. That proves the theory of evolution can't work. Because these systems can't evolve, because if it's not working all now, the organism dies. Are you with me? Okay, so evolution is not possible based upon the understanding of systems. So I had a problem with my digestive system. So you and I, we voluntarily take a bite of food, and you swallow it. And you, with knowledge, you take that swallow. And that begins what is called peristalsis. It's very interesting. Do you guys realize it's a crazy thing? You swallow, and then your body takes over from there. And it has this little rippling effect, almost like a wave of muscles that begin. And it takes it down, drops it into your stomach area, through the esophagus, into the stomach. The stomach starts working. It's a little plant right there that knows how to, it's like an energy plant. And it begins to process the food, and then it takes some of the food and it says, okay, this needs more processing, dumps it into your small intestine. So you got like 30 feet all wrapped up in there. Isn't that crazy? If you stretch it all out, 30 feet. So now the small intestine, like a little muscle, starts going through all 30 feet. And as it's doing that, it's taking out parts because the system has to work. Gets all finished, comes over, and it says, okay, we've taken everything we need out of it. The only thing that's left is water and trace minerals, dumps it into the colon. The colon begins to, the large intestine starts taking out trace minerals, brings it to a place where you no longer need it. Then you voluntarily, that's the other part, you voluntarily take it in, you voluntarily got to let it out, okay? System, there's no possible way for that to slowly design. It has to work now or you die. I had to find that out the hard way. After they did my surgery, my doctor said, I literally had your small intestines in a bowl laying next to your body. So when you touch the small intestines, it can get what they call an ileus. The small intestines go, ew, somebody touched me. So we're going to sleep. So how do you know that happens? Well, what happened to me, and some of you have it's happened to some of you. I eat some food for the first time. It goes in. Stomach's, oh, that tastes so good. Stomach does its job, tries to put it in the small intestine. Small intestine says, uh-uh. I'm not working. We're on strike. So sitting in the stomach says, well, we can't take it here. And if you're not going to take it, what do we do with it? Get rid of it. Out it came. All over my big Samoan nurse, the meanest one of what I had the whole time, right? Not good. So what they have to do, they insert a tube into your nose. They call it an NG tube. They start evacuating your stomach because they say, okay, your stomach's gone to sleep. You have an ileus. Peristalsis stops. No digestion takes place. If that's something that needs to evolve, you die. Are you with me? So there's no possible way that this can be something that works and develops. Now, what's crazy, you guys, the brain will turn the small intestine back on. For me, it took 7 days. No eating, 7 days. Watch it. You would be amazed at how many commercials are about food. You have no idea until you haven't eaten for a couple of weeks, okay? So ultimately, the stomach turns back on and it says, okay, we're awake now. We're done rebelling against the body. We'll take it again. Think of it this way, you guys. And for all of us, it's the same thing. What if we have someone within what we call the body of Christ that says, no, I don't want to do my job. Don't care. I'm going to be a rebel. I'm going to cause trouble within the body. What happens? It affects the rest of the church. Are you with me? So that can happen in any part of the body. Whether it happened as, unique individuals within the body, or what if an entire congregation decides we're going to rebel against, the things of God. Then you end up with apparitions like, what is that Baptist church that, Westboro Baptist, that show up holding vile signs at funerals of some of our soldiers. So you see, each of us got to find out, what is the gift that God has given to me? What do I do that I'm good at? What do I like to do? And you may be good at something you really don't like to do. That's a bummer, right? But it's possible. But are you doing, are you participating? Or are you rebelling? Worst case scenario, are you rebelling? Say, I don't want to. Don't care. Don't want to. Then it becomes cancer. You see, or it becomes disease like by large intestine was. We got to get it out. And therein becomes the difficulty. What now that takes us into a whole thing called church discipline. So, but the joy is finding when everything's going the way it should, is you know what you're supposed to do. You're doing what God's asked you to do. You have the calling of God, not just here inside the walls of the congregation of Calvary Chapel Ramona, but within Ramona. As we see, these guys are saying, hey, we want Awanas to be for all of the churches, not just a Mountain View or not just a Grace Church thing. We want it to be, let's open the door because we're all part of the body of Christ. So let's do this for our kids. That's why we opened the doors yesterday to the Spanish community. They needed a bigger facility. So we said, well, here you go, man. And we have a family here that's a part of that whole Ledesma family. And so it was a beautiful thing. Me and Dave sitting back there in the sound booth, didn't understand a word. Well, I take that back. Every once in a while, I heard hermano. I know that means brother, but that's the only one I heard. Comida, I know what that means. Let's eat. Okay, that one I know. But the body of Christ working together, even if you don't even speak the language, it was a beautiful thing. What's your part? Do you know what your part is? Are you using that part? Are you enjoying being used by God in the area that God has gifted you? Or have you been kind of sitting saying, I want other people to minister to me? Sometimes it comes a point where you say, time for me to get up and use the gift God's given to me. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the abilities and the gifts that you've given to us. And I pray, God, for each one of us that are here today that you might stir our hearts, Lord. If we've been sitting, if we've been kind of asleep, or if we've been lazily waiting for others to do it, may you light our hearts on fire, Lord, to say, I want to be used by you, Lord, today. I want to be used by you this week. I want to see a change take place on the job site that I'm at, or the office building where I'm working. And so, Lord, we just commit our own hearts to you. May you fill and baptize us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.